Federal Bureau of Prisons estimates they will release 112 inmates with convictions relating to international terrorism between 2015 and 2020, with an additional 100 releases between 2021 and 2031. The threat from terrorists recently released from prison is moderate given the small number of released in connection with terrorism-related offenses over the past 5 years, supervision upon release, and public scrutiny.
This is Director Jared Maples of the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. Welcome back to Intelligence Unclassified, a podcast about counterterrorism, cybersecurity, and emergency preparedness. Join us as we talk to local and national experts in these fields to discuss New Jersey's diverse threat landscape and offer you a unique perspective on current trends and issues facing our great state. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed, iTunes, or Google Play. You can also follow NJOHSP on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at NJOHSP. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website, www.njohsp.gov.
I'm here with my colleagues, Alyssa and Emily. And today we're going to talk about the release of terrorists who have been convicted in the United States, and we're going to talk about the threat that they might pose upon their release. So, Alyssa, can you give us a little bit of background on this topic?
Sure, Dylan. We're exploring this topic mainly due to the upcoming release of John Walker Lind, who was also known as the American Taliban. But there have been others released over the past 5 years that have said they will continue to harbor extremist ideologies. So with the release of John Walker Lind, those that don't know about him, he's now 38 years old. He'll be released on May 23rd after serving 17 years of a 20-year sentence for fighting with the Taliban in Afghanistan. He pled guilty to supplying services to the Taliban and illegal possession of a rifle and grenades. While in prison, Lind has made pro-ISIS statements in support of them and has also said that he will not give up his radical extremist beliefs. He went ahead and secured Irish citizenship through his maternal grandmother back in 2013, thinking about when he was going to be released. And Ireland has stated that they will accept him into the country. However, he has certain restrictive conditions as part of his release and therefore a period typically of 3 years. So he's going to be agreeing to having his internet usage monitored continuously. He cannot communicate online in any other language but English without permission. And he cannot communicate with extremists or view material that reflects extremist or terrorist views.
Could you give us a few details about John Walker Lind and the circumstances leading to his capture?
He was involved in a combat operation in Afghanistan where an actual U.S. citizen was killed in that operation. He was over there fighting. He had gone to Yemen to study, and he made his way eventually to Pakistan and then into Afghanistan. Shortly after 9/11, Lind was in Mazar Sharif, where he was taken prisoner by U.S. allies. While imprisoned with other Taliban captives, he was questioned by a CIA agent known as Mike Spann on November 25th, but he refused to answer any questions. During a prison uprising a few hours later, Spann was killed and Lind was wounded. So Lind was then detained and he was extradited to the United States eventually, where he pled guilty to supplying services to the Taliban and illegal possession of a rifle and grenades.
You said that he served 17 years of the 20-year sentence. I guess it seems like he went to Afghanistan shortly after the American invasion.
He was actually there overseas prior to 9/11. He was in Yemen studying Arabic. That's how he originally decided to go overseas. And then one thing led to another.
So you talked about John Walker Lind and how he is actually going to go to Ireland upon his release. Are there any other extremists that are going to be released that may pose a threat to the U.S. or that will be here upon their release?
Well, we know that in the past 5 or so years, there have been several notable releases. So Shannon Connolly, she was released in April 2017. She was from Colorado. And Colleen LaRose, also known as Jihad Jane, was released in November 2018. She is thought to be in Pennsylvania, and both of them said that they would not give up their radical beliefs upon leaving prison. However, they are still under supervised release and in monitoring programs, so it's unknown what they'll do when that period expires. There was a really good report by Jesse Morton, who was also convicted of terrorist offenses, and Mitch Silber, who used to be with NYPD intelligence. They wrote a report called When Terrorists Come Home. It was released about a month or so ago. They talk about it from the perspective of countering violent extremism. The report was produced by the Counter Extremism Project. And what they did was they interviewed a variety of recently released convicted terrorists, some who had aided the FBI and had shorter sentences. So Colleen LaRose served most of her sentence. Jesse Morton, who was involved with Revolution Muslim in the New York City area, he was released in 2015. Ismail Royer was released in December 2016. He was involved with LET or Lashkar-e-Taiba. There's really a whole bunch, if you read the report, that have been released, and they're from a variety of foreign terrorist organizations, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, ISIS. But this is really the first wave of people that are coming out of prison. So it's going to be interesting to see if any of these people go back to their radical views. Even though some people have said they intend to, I would say the majority have not so far and are repentant, and because they've cooperated with the federal government, are more involved in countering violent extremism and letting people know, you know, they've learned their lesson and hopefully people won't follow in their footsteps.
So, Alyssa, you said that the threat of these individuals is moderate. How did you come to that?
Well, based on looking at those who have been released, none of the people that I looked at had been reincarcerated or been involved in any extremism upon their release. So that's how I came up with that. However, I would say moderate because we don't know yet. It's a small number of those who have been released. And there's many, many more to come, as the Federal Bureau of Prisons has estimated. So it's kind of a wait and see kind of thing right now.
So I see in this report that you were talking about that a lot of the individuals arrested were Al-Qaeda supporters. And now with ISIS and how ISIS was able to inspire many people over the last couple of years, will we see a larger surge of homegrown violent extremists arrested who may have supported ISIS due to the fact that there was a large amount at one point?
I think so. There will be a larger amount of ISIS supporters. Generally, those who have not attempted to travel overseas have received much shorter sentences. So, you know, they typically will be out in under 5 years or so. Those who have actually attempted to travel will get more time. People that have been accused of and convicted of material support or sending funds, typically they'll receive a lesser sentence, but they still will receive some jail time. And we're starting to see the Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups come out now, and then the next wave will be the ISIS groups that come out.
It's almost like you can follow the trend of what group was the flavor of the month at that point.
Exactly. So, you know, we're seeing the Al-Qaeda groups let out, or people that were affiliated with Al-Qaeda, and then we'll see the big wave of ISIS supporters and those convicted that were interested in either traveling to Syria or aiding ISIS. We'll see them come out next, as the Bureau of Prisons estimated. Probably that 2021 to 2031, those 100 releases will probably most likely all be ISIS related.
So, Alyssa, you talked about how we're going to see a surge of individuals who have been charged with terrorism-related offenses being released. Is there anything that the government is doing to combat that threat, to prepare for the release of all of these individuals?
Well, in 2017, the TRACER Act, or H.R. 2471, was proposed, and it was supposed to formalize a procedure at the federal level by requiring the Secretary of Homeland Security to notify fusion centers of the pending release of anyone convicted of terrorism. A potential shortfall of this legislation is that anyone arrested for involvement in a terrorist plot but convicted on a lesser charge may not be covered under the act. So there are some pitfalls. I think what it is trying to do is establish a national database similar to that of a sex offender registry, like Megan's Law, where a convicted terrorist would have to register with their town or their local police department as part of their release so that they could be monitored, or at least the local police would have an idea of where they are. So the House passed the bill by voice vote on September 12, 2017, but the Senate has still not taken up the measure. And now we have pretty high level, serious convicted terrorists coming out, but there's still no plan on how we're going to handle them once they get out. After their period of monitoring by the government as a condition of their parole is granted or their release, we won't know what they're doing if something isn't done, either at the federal or state level.
Now, are they all being monitored for a period of 3 years, or is that just specific people? Like, is 3 years like a set in stone?
I don't think it's a set in stone, but from every case that I've looked at, the standard is typically 3 years.
So with this, if this act came about, it would require, you said, all convicted terrorists to register with their towns and things like that. Would it be similar to the sex offender registry in the case that citizens and the public would know, you know, that they had a terrorist living in their neighborhood?
I probably would say no to that, because that would be too invasive or might cause alarm. But at least the local police would be aware of their existence should anything happen. It wouldn't come as a surprise to them that, you know, all of a sudden they had this convicted terrorist living in their town. It would be more for situational awareness, just kind of a heads up rather than being intrusive.
So, Alyssa, you talked about the threat of the individuals that are convicted and will be released soon, but I know that we also had a little over 300 Americans estimated who traveled over to Syria and Iraq to fight with ISIS while they were during their heyday. Do we see any sort of threat, Emily, from individuals coming back now that ISIS is sort of losing their ground? Or what also about the individuals who may have just been kind of sent there because, like, maybe the wives of a fighter or the children of fighters? What type of threats are we seeing from that?
I would say it's a low threat, mainly because the United States as well as the United Kingdom are not allowing these ISIS brides to return. For example, there's the case of Hoda Muthena, who was a college student from Alabama when she traveled to Syria more than 4 years ago to join ISIS. She eventually married three fighters, and she also called for the killing of Americans on Twitter. She's since been a refugee in Syria, and she's been asking to return to the United States. However, the United States is saying that she's not technically a U.S. citizen, and therefore not eligible to return to the U.S. They're saying that she's not a U.S. citizen because at the time her father was a diplomat for the U.S., so therefore she is not eligible for U.S. citizenship and never was a U.S. citizen.
So, Emily, you assess that it's going to be a low threat to the U.S. because we're not allowing these individuals to come back from overseas. But are there any other countries that are allowing these people to come or return back to their home countries?
There are some countries. For example, Ireland is allowing Lisa Smith, who is a member of the Irish Defense Forces and the Irish Corps. She left to go to Syria about 5 years ago, and her husband was a British citizen, and he's recently died while fighting for ISIS. They apparently married while in ISIS territory. But Ireland's prime minister said that Smith can return to Ireland along with her 2-year-old child. So that's an example of another country that's going to allow these brides and these children to return. So I know some countries are discussing whether or not to just take back the children instead of taking the mother and the children, or, you know, do these children need to be orphaned in order for them to return to their home country? It's definitely an evolving issue, and it's something we're going to see more of as, you know, more and more ISIS brides are in refugee camps and all those children that have been born over in ISIS territory.
Right. So I know that I've seen in the news that some of the ISIS brides have been very vocal about wanting to come back to their home countries.
Well, they're in refugee camps right now. So, of course, they want to go back to their home countries where, you know, they can ensure that their children have proper food and water and health care in order to care for them.
Well, thank you, Alyssa and Emily, for discussing the individuals convicted of terrorism that will be released from jail soon, as well as the ISIS brides and the ISIS children that are attempting to come back to the United States and their home countries after ISIS has started to lose ground. So I know, Alyssa, you talked about how the Tracer Act was still in process. So hopefully in the coming months, as these individuals are coming out, more information will come out about the Tracer Act, and we'll be able to do a follow-on podcast, or our office will produce products talking more about the implications of these released individuals, as well as the individuals that are overseas that may want to come home. So again, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Intelligence Unclassified. Don't forget to subscribe by searching Intelligence Unclassified on your podcast app on Google or iTunes. Thank you very much, and until next time, Intelligence Unclassified, signing out.
All links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov. If you have any ideas or topics for future episodes, please contact us on Twitter at NJOHSP or email us at intelunclass@njohsp.gov. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.